a bunch of us gathered here on Friday night to remember the dark part of the story that was necessary to bring us to this morning, the morning of hallelujahs that we got to shout. On Friday night, we shared a story of the most beautiful human life ever lived, being put to death by the political powers that were threatened by a kingdom that was based on love rather than coercion. Friday night, we put ourselves in the crowd that shouted, "Hosanna!" one day, and then cried, "Crucify!" the next. How could that be? How could you go from one to another? There's a Native American story that you may have heard about an elderly Cherokee brave and his grandson. The grandfather said that there's a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "Grandson, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith." The grandson thought for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one that you feed." In the language of the Bible, those two wolves are called the heart of stone and the heart of flesh. Friday night, we recognize that each of us have within us both hearts of flesh and hearts of stone beating away. Hearts of flesh that can love, hearts of flesh that can touch and reach out and weep in sorrow, in joy, in compassion. And we have hearts of stone that are cold and unfeeling and capable only of power and efficiency and self-interest. We have them both. That night, as we shared the story of iron nails being pounded into fragile human flesh, we pounded onto the cross these small black rocks to symbolize our hardness of heart, our hearts of stone. We nailed them up to the cross to symbolically leave these hearts of stones there at Golgotha, the place of the skull, and prayerfully offered up our hearts of flesh that those hearts of flesh, might be fed and nurtured and strengthened by God's love. And so here we are, 3 days later, wondering what next? What now? We've shouted, "Christ is risen, hallelujah!" We've experienced in story something of God's freeing the people from bondage in Egypt. We've learned of their victimization by Pharaoh's heart of stone, his evil wolf, that they might take their pilgrim journey from slavery to liberation, across the sea of reeds on dry ground, maybe even picking up shells along the way. But here we are, 3 days later, and we're not sure how we're different because of the story. We have experienced in story how God freed Jesus from the power of death, and how hearts of stone were defeated by the power of love, how hearts of flesh heard the good news. The good news that life, not death, is the last word. We heard the power of the resurrection shared for all people in all times, in all places. So what do we take away from these stories? What do we go with from here? Besides two stories and a tiny scallop shell. We go with some no's and some yeses. Exodus and Easter cry a great no to the powers of sin and death and oppression. It's a no to the power of Pharaoh, a no to all that enslaves you, even if slavery feels safer some days. It's a no to the political terrors of Pilate and the priests. Exodus and Easter cry no to hearts of stone, no to nails of iron. Exodus and Easter cry yes to forgiveness, yes to second chances, yes to freedom, yes to love. That's why we've been riffing for a few months on this subject of God's jazz. How God makes the wrong notes right. This seems to be God's specialty throughout the Bible. To take the discordant notes of history, to take the wrong notes of our lives, and make them right notes in God's musical score, the great arc of God's liberating love. Here's the good news with what God is doing in our lives, with God's jazz. No matter how discordant the note, there is no oppression. Oh. We're okay, Gloria? There's no oppression so great, whether it is Pharaoh's brickyards or the state of Indiana's religious bigotry, that God can't turn around toward good. There's no sin that you've committed. There is no screw-up so great, whether it's Peter denying Jesus 3 times or the regrets that wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, that God can't redeem and heal and make something new and beautiful out of it. That's God's jazz. Taking the wrong, discordant notes in your life and healing them, redeeming them, and putting them into a greater score that we can't always understand. Moses followed the leading of that music. Jesus followed the leading of that love. Both of them agreed to be part of God's great jazz making. And we're invited to say yes as well. God's jazz is not an easy journey. Following that score can mean you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. and doing the right thing, acting out of love, justice, and compassion, can still get you hung up on a cross. But God takes us through the difficult. God leads us through the impossible, playing jazz all the way, picking up shells off the dry ground. God brings us through the impossible to a place of freedom, liberation, wholeness, and healing. And we're all invited to say yes to the journey. To say yes to freedom. To say yes to life. One of America's great unsung heroes, the brave and unflappable Mr. Rogers, shared this story. When I was a boy, and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping, and that will make it less scary." He continued, "To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world." It may not look like it when you read the newspaper. It never looks like it if you read the comment section in any blog. But there are many helpers in this world. Those who have said yes to a heart of flesh. Who have said yes to the good wolf inside. To those who have said yes to the music that comes from God. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be exploring this question. How then shall we live? If we believe in resurrection, how then shall we live? If we believe in forgiveness and second chances, how then shall we live? If we believe in feeding the good wolf, how then shall we live? And if we have found our hearts of flesh, how then shall we live? I invite you to explore that question with us, listening for the voice of the crucified and risen one, and listening for the notes of God's jazz leading us to a new place. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.